Hello friends, this is Father Gregory. We are still working out our quarter three financials for this year, and those will be published soon. This is always a complicated quarter due to the festival, but it is clear that although I like that report, and we will continue to produce it to help compare trends over time, the message there is not reaching everyone. We need your help to figure this out, and I encourage you to reach out to me, our treasurer Mikhail Fisinkov, or any one of our parish council members with your advice in this regard. As always, we are certain that we have a solution in our parish family to this important question, but that solution is in someone's head, maybe several someone's, and if you don't share it, then it can't help anyone. The problem that we need a solution to here is one of spiritual health in our parish family. If one person is spiritually ill, then we are all affected by that, and if lots of folks are spiritually ill, as seems to be the case here, then we are not a very healthy family at all, and that needs to be addressed and rectified. Of course, there are various ways to measure the health of a parish family. By most metrics, we are super strong. Number of people in church, number of people partaking of Holy Communion, number of divine services, number of clergy in the parish, the quality of our choir, the numbers in our brotherhood and sisterhood and their service to the faithful, the number of adult members in the parish, the number of inquirers and catechumens. In all these, we are strong. But as we grow in numbers, divine services, and all other metrics, our overall giving continues to drop. We are cutting costs wherever we can. But if our income continues to drop, it will not be long, a few months probably, before we will have to make some changes that the parish family will really feel. Not as a punishment, but because we won't be able to afford to pay our clergy, choir directors, etc., and they'll have to work more outside the parish and be less available for us and to fulfill their ministries. Obviously, the drop in income is due to the uncertain economic and political situation in which we live today. But we are called to live in the world and to raise the world to a higher level by our example. We are called to live in the world, but not be consumed by the world. We are called to be pilgrims on this earth, not tie ourselves to the earth, because this is not our true homeland. Our true homeland is in the heavenly kingdom. Those are really nice words to say and to read, but Christianity only works if we live it, not just say the words. St. Gregory the theologian put it well. Grace is given not to them who speak their faith, but to those who live their faith. So how do we live our faith? Look at those metrics above. We are doing wonderfully by most any measure, but the Lord calls us to yet a higher level of sacrifice. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. This is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21. In other words, we have to do more than the external things. The external things are important, but they are not everything. That is, looking good on paper is one thing, but going to the next level, really investing in God's church, shows truly the spiritual health of a parish. The external things have to lead us to the internal things, and taking a leap of faith to truly invest in God's church is one of the most important internal things that we do in our spiritual lives, because in this way we live our faith by showing that truly where our treasure is, that is, invested in God's church, there too is our heart, that is, in God's church. Understanding that the church on earth and the church in heaven are the same church makes this clear. When we invest here, we invest there. Not that we should think that we can buy our way into the heavenly kingdom, of course, but there is no better place to invest the 10% of the 100% that the Lord gives us than in our own salvation. God asks us to give to the church not for him, but out of his love for us and his desire for our salvation, something he desires even more than we do. To be clear, God doesn't need us or our time, talent, or treasure. On the contrary, it is we who need him. He only asks us to make this commitment to him for our salvation because of his love for us. Before we get to the fun part, which is the math we'll talk about in a few minutes, we need to cover one more thing. That is, it is scary to tithe. There is no reason to sugarcoat this. We are used to relying on ourselves and not on God. This is not good, of course, but it is just what it is. The Lord, however, knows that tithing is not easy for us. So when he instructs us in the Old Testament, he also gives us a promise. Now I can hear you thinking right now that we don't have to tithe because the Lord instructed his people about this in the Old Testament, and that is all gone now. But on the contrary, St. John Chrysostom says that if tithing is for the Old Testament, then those who live in the New Testament, that is us Christians, should give even more. Here's the quote from Malachi. "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." As I said, that's from Malachi, it's chapter 3, verses 8 to 10. As you can see, this is in fact a double promise. The Lord promises to bless us when we do not rob him. He will give us a blessing that we will not even have room enough, think of barns and harvests and so on and so forth, to receive. And if we do rob him, well, you can rewind and listen to that more ominous part above again. This, translated to the somewhat softer language of the New Testament, can be found in St. Paul. "Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him." That's from 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2. "And every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." That's from the second letter to Corinthians, chapter 9, verse 7. If it makes you feel any better, this was obviously a struggle for the nascent Christians in Corinth, otherwise St. Paul wouldn't have included these admonitions in his letters to them. But St. Paul is concerned here not just with the quantity of Christians, but also the quality of their spiritual lives. That is our concern too. We, of course, want to keep those metrics that we spoke about earlier nice and high. But if we bring a million people into the church and do not equip them to save their souls, then what good have we done? Now, for the math. But first, another quote from the Bible. The Lord said, "And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." That's from Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. That is, the church will exist forever, on this earth, until the Lord comes again, and unto eternity in the next life. The devil will work, but he will never truly succeed in destroying the church. If we think of the church as a country and the parishes as embassies, the question is not about whether the church will cease to exist, but we have to make sure that our embassy stays open so that we can continue to issue passports to eternal life in Jesus Christ. This is a good metaphor, I think, and as you consider the math that we'll talk about in a moment, it might be helpful to think about our embassy or franchise of the Universal Church as you do that. Surely no one other than us will answer for whether we keep our embassy open and functioning. Let us assume that we have 100 giving parishioners. We have 123 adult members this year, but surely some are unable to work or otherwise to give. That might be a little high, but 100 is an easy number to divide. Let us further assume that the average salary of those giving 100 parishioners is $52,000 per year after taxes, or $1,000 per week. Again, we chose this number not necessarily for accuracy, but because it is easy to divide and to understand conceptually. If we multiply 100 by 52,000, we get 5,200,000. In this example, this would be the take-home pay for our entire parish family. If we take 10% of that $5,200,000, we get $520,000. In this example, this would be the tithe for the entire parish or the annual budget for our parish family. What this would mean financially for each of those 100 people is a $52,000 annual salary, or a $5,200 annual tithe, or a $1,000 weekly salary, it's the same as $52,000 obviously, and a $100 weekly tithe. Now let's get a little bit more serious about the numbers. 100 is the minimum number, given our 123 adult members, that should be tithing. But that is not the reality. In fact, the reality is that it is more like 25. On one hand, that is disappointing. But as you can see by our active parish life, with only 25 people tithing, we can do a lot. Just think what we could do if we really got 100 people tithing. That means you, and that means us, and that means everyone in the parish. But because, as we noted above, tithing can be scary, and we aren't quite so presumptuous as to believe that everyone will read this and that everyone will act as we are encouraging you to do, at least not immediately, Let's look at this with a challenging but realistic number. In fact, we think $52,000 is probably a pretty good surrogate for the average salary of our working and non-working parishioners. So we'll use that here. And we think that since some folks will need to work spiritually on getting to a tithe for a longer time than others, that doesn't mean the early adopters are better. We are rewarded at the end of the race rather than at the beginning. We'll look at 50 individuals tithing at that rate. If we multiply $52,000 by 50, we get $2,600,000. This would make our parish tithe in this example $260,000. The numbers for each person is the same as what we listed above, $100 per week per adult. This would give us a super strong financial foundation that would allow us to do things like make Father Colin a full-time priest, start construction of our new parish church immediately, create an emergency fund for our parish family in case of family emergency or tragedy, support our diocese and Archbishop Peter at a much higher rate because 10% of our income is sent to the diocese, fund more missions in Michigan to spread the Orthodox faith, and more. No one is pretending that this is easy or that $100 is something that you can throw away every week. But if we give God's church $100 every week, are we really throwing that away? Or are we hearkening to God's plea that he gives us for our salvation? If you answer that giving to God's church is equivalent to burning money, then let's talk. We want to help you grow spiritually so that you will understand this for what it is, God giving us what is best for our salvation. That is what is important in this life, that we use the time here that God gives us, be that long or short time, to prepare ourselves for the next life. How we support God's church is part of that preparation, but it is not an unimportant part. Of the Lord's parables, fully one-third of them are about money. So this is something we need to understand, and we need to deal with according to the church's teaching. For, as in all things, the church cares first and foremost about our salvation and teaches us how we can best attain that. Trusting in God gives us true freedom, freedom that no one or nothing can take away from us. In a way, the martyrs were in fact the most free of all, for they dedicated their lives to Christ completely and cared not at all for the things of this world. We live in the world, and so we have to, at least on some level, care about the things of this world. Or rather, we are called upon to use the things of this world, like time, treasure, and talent, for our salvation and the salvation of all. May God grant us wisdom to understand this fully. If we do, there will never be an issue with finances at St. Vladimir's again, and we will excel at a key parish metric, the quality of the Christians that abide at St. Vladimir's. This is a letter from myself, Father Gregory, Jack Mitchell, our starosta, and Leta Nikulshina, our head sister. We're the stewardship education team, and from Mikhail Fisinkov and Marina Edwards, our parish finance team. Thanks for listening.